book in the New Testament. We will be looking tonight at verses 8 through 11, but let's begin in verse 1 and read through verse 11. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, last week we saw how that Jude had warned the people, about men who had crept in unawares. Men who had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. And they had crept in, unrecognized for who in reality they were. They were false professors. Many were false prophets. They were antichrist. And he mentioned in verse 4, five things that we looked at about those men that had crept in unawares. Tonight, he continues with the same theme. I will say that one of the verses that we are looking at tonight, verse 9, has, as one of the writers said, given more perplexity to expositors than any other part of this letter. What is written in verse 9 has given more perplexity to expositors than any other part of the epistle. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. I would just say tonight that what Peter wrote in 2 Peter about some of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letters is also true of what Jude wrote. Look back here a few pages to 2 Peter, what the Apostle Peter wrote that he said about some of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." It is salvation. If God were not long-suffering, there would be no salvation. None of us would be saved if God were not long-suffering. But thank God He is long-suffering. Count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Now notice, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scripture, unto their own destruction. We see that Peter said that in the letters of Paul, that there were some things hard to be understood. The Word of God is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And we can only imagine that there would be some things hard to be understood. Those who understand and those who grow in the knowledge of the Word of God are those who apply themselves to study, who diligently study the Word of God. It's not like reading any other book, not the Bible. There are some things that are so plain, they're as plain as the nose on your face, that there's only one way to the Father. You can't miss that, can you? You can't miss that. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." It'd be hard to misunderstand that. That's not one of those things that's hard to understand, is it? But there are some things dealing with God's sovereignty and God's foreknowledge and God's purpose, predestination, election, some of these things that the Apostle Paul wrote about are hard to be understood. And the same thing I would say about Jude in that particular verse there, verse number 9, some things hard to be understood. For some, the perplexity of this verse is, where did Jude get this information? Where did Jude get this information? He didn't get it from the Pentateuch. He didn't get it from that which is written in the Word of God. Look back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34, which tells us about the burial of Moses, the burial of his body. Deuteronomy chapter 34, and verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he," that is the Lord, the antecedent of "he" is the Lord, "and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day." Now that's all that we know about the burial of Moses. Some people find this a difficulty. Where did Jude get this information? But the same thing could be said about Paul. When Paul names two men, Janus and Jambres, which men believe were those magicians in Egypt which withstood Moses, where did he get that information? Those two men, Janus and Jambres, believed to be magicians that withstood Moses. Where did Paul get that information? Well, I don't see this as a problem, do you? Not at all. Because I believe, and I believe that you believe this, that the Word of God, the Bible, is the inspired Word of God. We believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of the Word of God. Not just the thoughts, but the very words. The very words were inspired by God. The Bible is a miracle book, isn't it? I have a little booklet back there in my office I've read over the years, and the title is The Miracle Book. And it is. It's a miracle book. No one can deny that the Bible is the Word of God, written over a period of 1,500 years by 40-something different authors from all walks of life, some of them lawyers, some of them fishermen, some of them herdsmen, and yet they all have the same message. That's an impossibility apart from the truth that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. Amen? So I don't see any problem. Where did Moses? You might say, well, where did Moses get the information that he wrote in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. He wasn't there. He didn't see it. He didn't hear God say, let there be light, and light was. Where did he get that information? He's the inspired Word of God answers that question. I see no perplexity there. But the difficulty has to do with this one called Michael, the archangel. Some make the case that this is Christ, that this is Christ himself, Michael, like God, the archangel. But there are verses of Scripture, I don't see that as some men do. Now, I don't have the light, evidently, some men have on that. Our Lord mentioned Beelzebub as the prince of the devils, and we know that there's an order among the angels. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. We know that there's an order among the angels. In Paul's prayer here in verse 9, he prayed, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And that passage in 1 Thessalonians, which speaks, for the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. It seems difficult to see that as not being a separate entity from the Lord who descends from heaven. It is for me. But then when you read in Revelation chapter 12 about that war that went on in heaven, it was Michael who overthrew Satan and cast him down. And that certainly speaks of Christ. We know he's the one who defeated Satan. He's the one that gave Satan his death blow at the cross. And then the body of Moses. Some people see this as the law, the Old Testament law that was given through Moses. The body of that law was what was disputed over or about. But it doesn't, to me, it doesn't seem right, the term he durst not, this Michael, notice it said he durst not bring a railing accusation. To me, that's just not fitting to say that about Christ. He durst not. No, he is the sovereign ruler. All power in heaven and earth is in his hands. Amen. So, for me, now you may see this clearly. You may have your understanding of this, but for me, I'm going to have to wait for more light before I can be dogmatic about what this verse is telling us. For it is, to me, perplexing. It is perplexing. What is clear, and let's look at this, what is clear, that is that Jude continues to describe these men who had crept in unawares. These false professors, false prophets, and Antichrist. Now I have 2 points. I won't be long. But notice, let's read verses 8 through 10 again, and I want us to notice the parallel between these verses and the verses in 2 Peter chapter 2. So hold your place here and turn back there to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 through 12. Okay, let's read the verses here in Jude, verses 8 through 10. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Now skip over 9, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now, let's read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 10 through 12. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You see the parallel there between what Jude wrote and what the Apostle Peter wrote. Now, I want to pull out just a couple of things from these verses. First of all, they're dreamers. Notice that in our text tonight, in verse 8. Likewise, also these, and notice the word filthy is in italics. It's been added. These also dreamers defile the flesh. Now, false prophets have often and many times continued to substitute their dreams for the Word of God. I want to read a passage from Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 13. In verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet, now notice, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. And Notice, keep His commandments, His word, rather than follow these dreamers and their dreams. We're to keep His commandments. We are to obey His voice. And you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of these. Jude is warning about men who have crept in, false teachers, false prophets, false professors, antichrist. And the first thing he says in this verse is that they're dreamers. They're dreamers. And they would pawn off on the people of God their dreams rather than the written word of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, we are told that God did at sundry times and in divers manners speak unto the fathers in different manners, right? But hath in these last days spoken unto us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the final, the complete revelation of God.
That's right.
Now, these men who had crept in are dreamers. And I want you to turn to a place in Jeremiah. I couldn't pass up this. Jeremiah chapter 23. And verses 25 and 26. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Now notice this. And he that hath my word, and we have his word tonight.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
We have, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord. And you can just imagine a big pile of chaff. You could eat it, you could try to make bread with it, I guess, and die of starvation. There's no nutrition in the chaff. But the wheat, the kernel, that's where the food is. And that's what God calls His word.
Amen.
The written word of God. Food for our souls.
Yeah.
Food for our souls. The written word of God. Go back with me now. The second thing we see, they despise dominion. First he says they're dreamers. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignities or dignitaries. Now, this may apply first to God's dominion. God's dominion. God's sovereignty. These men are not afraid to speak evil of God's sovereignty. It may also apply to civil rule. They fail to recognize, obviously, that civil authority is ordained of God. And we think things are bad, and things are bad, but if there was no civil authority, if there were no policemen, if there were no judges and courthouses, and it'd be hell on earth. Why? Because men are depraved. That's why. They speak evil of dignities, failing to recognize that the powers that be are ordained of God. Look with me in Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, notice, he's a minister of God. I had a friend, pastor friend, many years ago, who's been gone a long time now, pastored in Alabama. But he had a member of his congregation who was a policeman who was killed on the job. And at his funeral, he made the point that this brother was every bit a minister of God as I am, the preacher. Every bit a minister of God as the preacher is. The minister. That's what he said. For he is the minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. People complain about paying taxes, don't we? Don't we? I tell you. Somebody's got to support the policemen and the military and those who are ordained of God as ministers for good, civil rulers. But Jude tells us these speak evil of dignities. And you know, you hear people say, well, punishment. You know, every law has a penalty. If a law doesn't have a penalty, then it's just good advice. That's all it could be. And the sociologists, they say, well, punishment doesn't deter crime. Well, who are you going to believe, God or the sociologists? Who are you going to believe? God says it does. Let me show you that. In Deuteronomy again, chapter 19. That prisoner who broke out of prison recently and killed those three young men and that grandfather. If the law had executed that man for the crime, the murder he had already committed, those people would be alive today. Yes, the law of God that was given to Israel had part of it concerned civil matters. And notice here in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall he then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. Now watch this. And those which remain shall hear. They shall hear. He got punished. He got punished for what he did. He did wrong. And he got punished. They shall hear. And they shall fear. And shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And then that next verse. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That mandate is for the civil rulers. It's not for you or me to take revenge. Revenge, or vengeance rather, belongs unto the Lord. It's not for us to execute this eye for eye and hand for hand, but yes, the government, the civil rulers. The penalty is to fit the crime. And God said people who are penalized will hear and they will fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. If Paul or Jude here is arguing or reasoning, I should say, from the greater to the least, but he says if Michael did not bring a railing accusation against Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, then men should not speak evil of dignitaries. And some understand the words, these speak evil of those things which they know not, as referring to angels. And I'm going to skip over part of these notes, but just remember this, what we know about angels, we know from the book, from the Word of God. That's right. Not from feelings and not from Hollywood movie pictures and things like that. That's not where we learn about angels. What we know about angels comes to us from the Word of God. Now let me just hurriedly notice this second part. This divine woe unto them in verse 11. Woe unto them! Exclamation mark. A prediction of what was to come upon them. And John Gill pointed out that in the Arabic version, there is a preface to these words, oh my beloved, oh my beloved, that what is about to be said might be attended to as a caution and instruction to them. They have gone in the way of Cain. Now, what was the way of Cain? Envy. Envy. He envied his brother Abel. You know, envy is one of those sins that we have a tendency to think, well, that's not so bad, you know. Envy. It's an evil, wicked sin. And the envy of Cain resulted in murder. It led to murder. And the proverb said, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. You see these multimillionaires who are wicked, many of them, I'm not saying they all are, but don't envy those people. See those famous people, famous sports people, famous politicians, and don't be envious of those people. Don't let your heart be envious of those things. Thank God that thou have been given the fear of the Lord in your heart. The fear of the Lord. And then he says they ran greedily after the era of Balaam. What was the era of Balaam? It was covetousness. Paul said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. That prayer that we find in the book of Proverbs, that prayer of Agur, is one that God's people, that we should learn and we should pray quite often. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Now listen, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. I remember Brother Shanks had a message he preached. The title was Cornbread and Beans. Cornbread and Beans. And his point in the message was, if you have to eat cornbread and beans, if you have to exist on only that to hear the gospel, be in that place. Don't let money, the love of money, cause you to leave the gospel. Better pay, all of that stuff. That's such an attraction. That's the way of Balaam. Covetousness. How much does it cost? I mean, how much does it take for a person to be satisfied? I tell you, it's not money. It's always just a little more. Just a little more. Godliness with contentment is great gain, Paul said. Great gain. And then the third thing, they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Gainsaying, of course, means the contradicting. Korah contradicted God's order. God had set up, raised up Moses as the leader. And Korah, he wanted to usurp that place. And he had a bunch of people with him, too. And remember what God did to those people. He opened up the earth and just swallowed them up. Because they resisted, they gainsaid Moses. Well, I'm going to stop here. Surely I thought I'd hear an amen when I said that. Okay.